Amen.
We're going to turn the service upside down just because it seemed to work that way today. We're going to have the sermon and then a time of worship. Because I would hope that at the end of the sermon, you will want to worship, to want to praise the Lord. So I'm hoping this will set us up for that. I just felt such a sense of that from start to finish, that as I was preparing this, that we had to do it that way because we are going to be put in a right context, right frame of mind as we hear the word of the Lord today. We're going back to the book of Philemon. I understand that we actually have a guy named Phil here today. Isn't that you? That's you, isn't it? And did you know that Phil means love, Phil? Oh, there you go. He knew that. Yeah. And Philemon means lovely as well, and more. And of course, that's one of the four Greek words for love. We'll get into that a little later. But opening up your Bibles to the book of Philemon, it's a short read. Let's read it. Here's a thought. Let's stand for the hearing of God's word. Awesome word. Stand with me, please. You've been sitting a while. This is God's word. Hallelujah. He put this in here on purpose for us. Reading from Philemon, a letter from Paul. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, always making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wished to keep with me, but so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps it was for this reason, separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, we thank you for your word, Lord. There's so much good in this. Last week we talked about this idea, that Paul, being a prisoner of Christ Jesus, we looked at that extensively, and it was powerful for me. I hope it was for you too. The background of this book, we'll consider this more so today. It's the book to Philemon. It's the story of a slave by the name of Onesimus. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, Onesimus, a slave of Philemon, had run away, having evidently robbed his master. His travels, somehow brought him to Rome, where, in the providence of God, he came in contact with Paul while in prison. Through this contact, Paul led Onesimus to know the Savior. Then Onesimus, in some way, became useful to Paul. But Paul realized that Onesimus had a responsibility to Philemon, his master, and should make restitution for his thievery, for his escape. Thus, Paul deemed it right to return Onesimus to Philemon. Tychicus was given the responsibility of carrying Paul's letter from Rome to the Colossians, and Onesimus evidently traveled back with him. So we know the story is about a slave. The author is Paul, who's also a prisoner. And the recipient, Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. There are four words in the Greek language to describe love. And we've probably heard this before, but it's worth repeating. Agape love is the love of God toward man and man toward God. We would say unconditional love, no matter what love. And it's the ideal. It's the ideal in marriage. It's the ideal in parent to child and child to parent. It's that perfect love that never holds account and is never less than perfect love. It's wonderful. Then there is eros. We get the word erotic. We hear eros, and we get that love between a man and a woman, intimate, passionate. And then philia, we would usually relate that to brotherly love. And finally, storge is parent to child family love. It's an affection sort of love, storge. But philia is what we're going to look at here today, because it's Philemon. And Paul is, he's a wordsmith. He's a very intelligent man, and he's also anointed by God. There's so much in this. So when he says to Philemon, my friend, my fellow worker, he's actually calling him by name and what his name means. It's wonderful because philia means affectionate regard, friendship, usually between equals. Paul even says that. We are peers. We are equals. We are partners in this work, in the gospel. He's saying, hey, you and me, we are one. Can I relate? Do you relate to me that way? That's what he's saying to Philemon. He's so clever the way he writes this. It's a virtuous love, a concept developed by Aristotle in his best known work on ethics. Philia is expressed variously as loyalty to friends, family, community. It requires virtue, equality, familiarity. It's a love that does the right thing, if you get what I'm saying. It's excellent. It's excellent. Well, this book has great value. There's not a whole lot of commentary, not a whole lot of sermons on this book, and there should be, because it's powerful. This book has tremendous value for us today, because it contains, in a certain sense, the story of our lives, just as it does the story of Onesimus. The great reformer Martin Luther clearly saw this and wrote, here we see St. Paul as he lays himself out for poor Onesimus, and with all his means pleads his cause with his master, and so sets himself as if he were Onesimus and had himself done wrong to Philemon, even as Christ did for us with God the Father. Thus also St. Paul does for Onesimus with Philemon. We are all Onesimi, to my thinking. That's what we get here. That's the idea. Please relate to this slave, to this runaway, to this thief. I would hope you can see something of your own life in this story, including the great position that we find ourselves in after coming to Christ. Philemon, verses 10 through 18. I want to read it again. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person. That is, sending my very heart. What an idea. Do you hear what Paul is saying? How sincere, how heartfelt he is. He's saying, I'm sending you my heart. He's like my son. No, he's not like my son. He is my son. He's precious to me. Begotten during my time in prison, this guy is special. Well, we read, while running from his master, Onesimus met up with Paul and became a Christian. The slave who had stolen, betrayed, run from his master, had been turned around by the power of the gospel. Paul had led him to Christ. What a wonderful thing. While in prison, he did this, no less. Maybe you haven't thought about it much, but there is a very real sense in which this speaks of our lives. For all humanity are slaves until we find the Lord Jesus Christ. Or rather, he finds us. Amen? Yes. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And Paul wrote, but the scriptures declare that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. In Galatians chapter 3. Those who have not been saved and set free by the power of the Lord Jesus are still in slavery to sin. Absolutely. We become slaves to all sorts, all manners of sin, all kinds of appetites and temptations and every sort of whim. We run to sin, don't we, as unregenerate, unsaved souls? We have an appetite for it. And like Onesimus of old, many today are still running from their master, having stolen from his glory and praise and the sacrifice that is due him. This is every one of our stories. At some stage in our lives, we were that man. We were runaway, thieving slaves. Please know that about yourself prior to Christ Jesus. I mean, we can whitewash it. Just, it's just love. It's just all love. Jesus will love you no matter what. He's just going to love you. No, please. He will love you. But that does not get you into relationship with him. That sin state, you are a slave to sin. And then Christ Jesus and his love, when we receive it, what a thing, what a glorious moment. Now, going back to the story, this may have been how our story begins. And of course it is. Every one of us, we're born into sin. It doesn't finish that way. It certainly doesn't have to. We read that Paul said, For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. Isn't that wonderful? Just for a while. This spoke to me so much. You might have thought, Philemon, that things were worse. I mean, he had a slave, and then he stole from you, and worse yet, he ran away from you, and now, you know, you're at a loss for it. But it was for a while, and it was for a reason. God uses everything, all things working together. Wonderful. What the enemy intended for our harm, the Lord will use for our very good. It's wonderful. It'll be for profit's sake. God has a way of turning these things around, and you've heard it said that sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. Or the old saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. Of course, I've heard it also, it's always darkest and then it's completely black. But I mean, that's just tragic. But, you know, it is always darkest before the dawn, and that is a saving grace for me. I think of my own son. And is it getting worse? Is it getting worse? And then, but God is doing a great work here. I have to trust him. I have to trust him that it's for a little while so that I will have him back forever. You and your circumstance, you had a daughter, a wayward child who strayed hard and just left you hurting and your heart broke for a while. for a while. And the Lord had to take her through some experiences and some decisions, and for her to come to that place where she said, that's my God. That's not my father's God anymore. That's not my mother's God anymore. That's my God. I'm going to believe in myself. I had to go through this to come to this point, to make this decision, to receive you as Lord. I had to do that. And it got worse. And you were so hurt. I've heard it said, you know what it's like to have a child? It's like having your heart walking around outside of your body. It's like that. Paul says, I'm sending you your slave back. But now, he's not a slave. He's my son. Something wonderful's happened here, buddy. Philemon, it's all changed. This is a complete game changer, this situation. I'm not just sending this young man back. I'm sending you my heart. Isn't that wonderful? Like Paul's saying, he's my son, and now I see my heart walking around outside my body. And it's great. It's wonderful. I have such a heart for him. I'm sending you my heart. And if you don't see Jesus in that, look again in our heart toward Jesus. We're going to sing a song this morning. I give you my heart. Please, when we get to that song, think these same words. It's like, that's my heart. I'm giving you my heart. Paul says, I put my heart in this guy and I'm sending my heart to you. What are you going to do with it? Wow, that's deep. That's good. It gets worse. It gets darker. And then, all glory lets out. All glory lets loose. And then, oh, what a thing happens. And that's for me right now. I want that. I need that. For prayers that have been lifted up day after day, night after night, tears, many times over. I give you my heart, Lord. It's like that. You will have him back forever. You will have him back forever. Your son, your daughter, your friend, your loved one is gone for a while, but you will have him back forever. That is eternity. That is a glorious thing. That is not just you're going to have him back in the flesh and for the rest of his life, yeah, he'll be with you again. He's talking about you're going to have him back brand new, saved, glorious. God's going to do a work in it. In this one. And that's what has happened here for Onesimus. You're going to get him back forever. Paul is not speaking just of this life. Jesus said, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. A slave has no permanent place in the family. But in the family, a son belongs forever. Oh, I'm just hanging on tight to that. That is my hope. And it's not an empty hope. It's not a weak thing. It's a powerful truth. It's fantastic. I think it's absolutely glorious. A son belongs to the family forever. And that is the wonderful position that we as believers find ourselves in today. No longer slaves to sin, nor even servants of God, but members of the very household of God. Paul also emphasized to Philemon that Onesimus would return no longer a slave, but more than a slave, better than a slave, a beloved brother. So it is with us, as we read. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Joint heir with Jesus. Wow. Absolutely wow. It's at this point that we become useful, profitable. We become functional. Now we can represent him rightly. A slave does his job. And when I think, you know, a slave or a servant, when trouble comes, they probably would flee from it. But now we're sons. We have a stake in this thing. We are joint heirs. It's different. It's better. It's glorious. Of course it's better. That's what an understatement. It's better. Paul says, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful to you and to me. Now again, here's Paul, this man, sharp, clever, so intelligent, so learned, and so inspired by God. He says, this Onesimus was useless to you. Another play on words. Onesimus means useful. See, God does that. Have you noticed that? He uses names to tell you what's going to happen. That's cool. That's very cool. I love it. You know, people go, oh, I don't know about that. How could he do that? Well, wait a minute. If he could create a man, do you not think he could be creative enough to give him a name? Come on. If he created everything, and it says he created all the stars, and I'm going to just go ahead and believe that, and he knows them by name. He even named them. Well, I think he also can name a slave and say useful. What a silly thing to call a slave useful. But Paul is saying, you know, he was useless to you, but now he's both useful to you and to me. Or another way of putting it, he is now profitable. And this is what he became once he was restored to his master. The same is true of you and me. When we come into relationship and dependence upon God, we become profitable. Very usable, very willing, I would hope, to be used of God. And what a privilege it is to be used by God. Amen? Oh, he has a purpose and a plan. Paul says, accept him as you would me. Paul wrote, if then you regard me as a partner, remember what Philemon means, is actually equal. Partner, accept him as you would me. Now, I'm sure that if Paul had turned up at Philemon's place, and most would assume Philemon was a wealthy man, had a great household, had slaves, had a church was operating in his house. In fact, a New Testament church was happening out of that place, and that's what would happen. You know, Paul or other missionaries would find a prominent family, God would direct them to a prominent man of influence, and they would use that as a place of operating, of ministering out of, and as a home base, so to speak. But it was wonderful. Now, this Philemon has become a partner in the ministry. And if Paul would have shown up on his doorstep, how do you think he would have been received? Oh, my goodness. It's you. It's Paul. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Please come in. Everyone, it's Paul. Look, it's Paul. He's here. Oh, yeah, he's that great evangelist. You know all those letters we have read from all the other churches that we have shared and circulated around? This is that Paul. Damascus, Paul. This is that guy. This is the one who was formerly, he was hunting down the Christians. Now, he met Jesus on that road. And here he is today to tell, oh, what a glorious thing. The things this man could tell us some of those stories, Paul. Share with us what you've been doing. Oh, no, take the best place, that seat here. And everyone just, oh, gather around. Listen to Paul. He's here. Paul says, receive Onesimus like that. Yeah, right. That's no small request. No, it isn't. Paul would have received a wonderful welcome. Onesimus should have received a terrible welcome if he was a slave who had run away and stolen from his master. They would have dragged him back. They would have had people out searching for him. And when they found him, they would have dragged him back to face the judge. And then they would have punished him severely. Possibly imprisoned. Possibly loss of limbs. Possibly put to death. Paul says, but don't receive him like that, please. Receive him like you would me. The Bible says that we are accepted in the Beloved. In other words, God the Father accepts us just as he would his own son. Even though in ourselves we are little better than a thieving, runaway slave. I have sent him back to you as if I'm sending you my own heart, Philemon. And then he says, charge that to my account. That reminds me of the parable Jesus shared of the Good Samaritan. Remember the Good Samaritan? He takes that fellow who's been beaten and robbed and left for dead, and he takes that fellow to an inn and says, you take care of this fellow. Bandage him up. Let him get better. Make sure he is well before you let him go. And here is money to cover those costs. And if there are any more costs, charge it to my account. And Jesus says, that's how we ought to be. Sometimes we are the one that's beaten and bloodied and left for dead. Sometimes we're the one that says, charge that to my account. But this morning, do you see Jesus? Do you see our story in that? You can't miss it. Charge that to my account. What fantastic words for Onesimus. Can you imagine that slave? He comes back trembling. He's got this letter. This is from Paul before. He must have stood way back. Just please read this. I mean, Tychicus, perhaps he brought the letter ahead of him and said, okay, you stay back, Onesimus. I'm going to give Philemon the letter. He's going to read it before he beats you senseless. But he opens it. Now, I don't know if Philemon or if Onesimus knew what that letter said. I don't know if he was aware of the contents. But what a precious letter. What a glorious thing. Do you imagine? What love was written on those words? A slave who was worthy of imprisonment and possibly death is holding a letter that changes everything. Holding words that change everything, huh? Words written on our hearts. Wow. Thank you, Lord. The same is true of us. Please, you see that. Of course you do. Paid in full. Romans 3:25. God presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Paid in full. And the Lord Jesus, for his part, said, whatever debt of sin that is owed to the Father, Father, charge it to my account. Paul did not say, just, hey, listen, I know he owes you money. I know he did you wrong. Forget about it. He wasn't from Brooklyn. He wouldn't say it like that anyways. But he wouldn't say, just, listen, I know, you owe me. You know, what am I? What are you? Hey, come on. Forget about it. You know, he didn't say that. He said, he owes you. I know that. He owes you dearly. I know that. I'm paying it. I'm not saying forget it. I'm saying I'm paying it. It's paid in full. You will receive full restitution. Judgment and justice will be satisfied completely. Jesus didn't say forget about it. He said, Father, hey, forget about it. He said, I give you my life. I pour out my life for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget about it. Remember it. Remember it. What a joy. What a glorious truth. By the body and blood of Christ Jesus, we are redeemed. A precious, precious price was paid. Not forget about it, but it is finished. Paid in full. Father, charge that to my account. Yeah, Onesimus was a very fortunate man. At one time, a runaway, thieving slave, but now an accepted, beloved brother, restored to his master. It's a fantastic reminder of the wonderful love, mercy, and grace that has been shown to each one of us. as we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus, we are no longer slaves. We are sons and daughters. We often sing a chorus that speaks of that, of our fortunate position. We're going to sing that this morning. It's called, "You Are My King." I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I worship you. Philemon was to accept Onesimus as if he was receiving Paul himself. Simply put, Paul was taking his place. He became a substitute for Onesimus. Paul says, "Welcome him as you would welcome me. Forgive him as you forgive me." It's a wonderful thing. And like Paul, Jesus takes our place. And when we stand before our Lord God, our loving God, but our just God, just, not simply God, but just, as in justice of God, and the books are opened, going to come to our name and our lives, and it's just going to say, "Jesus." Just Jesus there. That's all it's going to, Jesus. No judgment, no shortfall, no slavery. Son, wow. I send you my heart. We'll be singing that this morning too. I give you my heart. Atonement is the true meaning of Christ's death, for he sacrificed himself in our place. In the place of us as we are condemned sinners. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you see that? And we will sing this song too. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love. So amazing. I didn't think this was a Valentine's sermon, but it sure is. It's wonderful. This morning we're going to worship God. We've got a half an hour to worship the Lord. Can you do that? This isn't get out of church early day. This is, that's okay. We have roses here, and there's another. Songs are just floating in and out of my heart and my thoughts. I mean, the rose is another beautiful song. Jesus is called the Rose of Sharon, by the way, and that's a beautiful name, the Rose of Sharon. It's just a beautiful rose of peace. And we have some roses here this morning. I would encourage you, as we worship today, that you would stand or kneel or whatever you want to do, whatever expression, whatever position, whatever posture you want to take, and worship God as we sing these songs. And perhaps at some point you would feel so inclined to step out and come forward and speak to him closely about your heart, about his sacrifice. Just speak to him. And if you have a need, come forward. We want to pray with you, and I promise you, you won't be alone. Isn't that right, family? There'll be half a dozen people gather around you and pray with you. Don't think for a moment that's uncomfortable. It's wonderful. It's blessed. It's better than you'll ever imagine until you do it, when you feel the love of Christ surround you like that. And we want you then to take a rose. Yeah, even you fellas, take a rose, would you? Go ahead. If you come forward, take a rose, and it's a gift back to you. It's maybe a tangible expression of the love of Christ. Okay? So let's worship for a while this morning.
Hallelujah. Why don't we stand in the presence? What a beautiful message about the heart of God.